Hey guys, it's been a little bit, took a little bit longer for me to get a podcast out than I wanted, largely because I ran out of stuff to say, and just, I don't know as much as I would like, so I have to put my efforts places that I feel like I'm going to get the greatest result from, and the Viking of Hala Project podcast is something that I definitely want good results from, so right now I'm kind of going over what I can do to get guests on that are experts in their field that we can pick their brain and learn some things from. So that's where I've been on several projects. And so before we get too deep, I need to pay the bills and talk about who is funding and sponsoring this. And so first and foremost, the Viking of Bahala project is brought to us by the Viking of Bahala Construction Company and Woodworks. So it's a company specializing in remodels, home building, log cabins, and all the fine furnishings that go within it, all custom and handmade from often local materials or custom specified materials. The other sponsor is Fusebox Sambo 1, Colorado's home for Sambo and Sambo-based MMA in Westminster, Colorado, celebrating at least 20 years worth of business and looking forward to creating the next generation of instructors so it can last another 20 years. So today I thought I would bring us into kind of my thoughts on goals as an instructor, as a martial arts instructor, because I have to watch what I'm leaning on. I'm not trying to come across like I'm an expert on all of this stuff. What I'm trying to come across as is that I have a ton of experience in trying to help myself and other people to accomplish a series of goals in their life that would, it would require me to have probably what I call sacrifice a few lambs, but it takes a lot to learn on what makes a person, on average, if you had to look at all people, tick. And what causes certain people to accomplish goals and other people to not accomplish goals. So as a coach and as a person, I'm going to give my free opinion on this first piece, and that is, I think a lot of it is genetic. And I know in today's age that we're not supposed to say that kind of stuff, but I think it's a lot genetic. I think it's not a lot different than track. I can go run with Usain Bolt or Carl Lewis. I can go run with these guys, but I'm not going to be as fast as them. I just genetically don't have the material, right, to run as quickly as they do. And that's okay. So really all I can do is what any of us can do, and that is the best with what we have available to us. So my thoughts on the breakdown of goals, and this could be something maybe you're looking to use for yourself, or perhaps you're a coach, maybe it could help you break down those goals for kids that you're working with, or you know, even as a parent, and take cherry pick to this, whatever you need to do. I'm just going to put this information out there, and let's see how it. Let's see what you think about it. So, when I learned goals, we had classes in junior high that kind of talked to us about goals, how to set goals, and how to accomplish goals, and it was a good baseline way to put down your information. I use it even today on writing out these podcast scripts. So I have to write information down so I don't lose track of where I am, because I'm really bad at that, and I will. And what I'm using right now on the podcast is goal setting 101 that we learned in 7th or 8th grade. So you're going to hear potentially a lot of background noise here. Outside of my studio, we have some roofing going on. So off topic, these roofing crews are amazingly fast. So my thoughts here, they are step one, write them down. But I think how you write them down matters. So if you write them down willy-nilly and it's not real clear and it's not bullet-pointed, and your brain works that way, then I think that you're going to have a problem. And if you write them down bullet-pointed and your brain works in story form and you like to read story form, I think you might have a problem. So definitely write them out in a way that works for you. Nobody can tell you what that is but you. But write it down in a way that you can understand and that you're excited to review. And reviewing them is important. I think weekly reviews are of utmost importance. I think that if you were to go to a store and purchase a TV stand, for example, that you have to put together, you have to read the instructions, and then there's like 6 bolts left over and things are hard to understand how to put together. That's just a TV stand. That's not your life, right? So we can get lost in trying to do life really easy. And I think that's where, and this is, I'm going to bring this up and I'm just going to touch on it lightly because I don't want to dig into anxiety too much right now. But I think that's where anxiety and depression can largely come from if it's not a chemical broken chunk of material in your brain, is it comes, in my opinion, it comes from a lack of clear understanding of the pathway that you're taking. So if you don't know where you're going next, it wouldn't make sense that you would be anxious. If you don't know how you're going to make a living next month, it would make sense that you're going to be anxious. If money's always a problem, it would make sense that you're anxious for next month. If finding food is an issue, anxious. If you've just dismally failed every time you go, or the majority of the times that you go into a public place, you've dismally failed, then you're going to feel anxious. I think these things are completely natural. So one of the ways that we can bring, and if it happens enough, you get depressed. Because I kind of see depression as everything that makes you anxious is now here and you're bathing in it. So when I say write them down and review them weekly, it's a way of reminding you of where you're going, like reading an instruction manual. And if you're like me, I'm going to bring up dream boards. I'm a very visual person, so I like to see things. I experience emotions and thoughts, and I even experience reminiscent smells even from pictures that I see of like old tractors and things of that nature that remind me of the calm times of my childhood. So for when I try to set up goals, I try to do it as much as I can in a picture form, in a framed photograph where I can see it. And as long as I can see it, then it reminds me of what I'm trying to accomplish in life. Now, if you're going to do something like a vision board, my advice isn't to write it down or to cut out pictures and put them in there just randomly. My advice is to set them up very chronologically from where you are to where you're going, just like you were writing. So left to right and column down, left to right, left to right. And be careful what you put in the center. So if you put a large picture in the center of the picture, our Western brain, I believe, tends to focus on that and make the rest of it about that. And I've done that mistakenly with a girlfriend in the past where I set things up and I didn't really put chronologically anything up there. I just had her mug right in the middle of that picture. And what ended up happening was everything I did revolved around her and I lost my identity in this. But so many of the things that were on that poster really came true. I ended up getting them, but I had money on the bottom right hand side and I had these random pictures going from left to right on the top, and what ended up happening with that is I accomplished from left to right, straight across, and everything revolved around her. And I didn't have an identity left after that. So I suspect that that happened because that's how we read. So just a word of advice, maybe start left to right. Be very careful about what you're putting in there and make it about you. And maybe possibly don't make it about another person at all. They're here to be with you. You're not here to become something for them. And if you disagree with that, do as you will. If you agree with what I just said, there we go. So after that dream board is made, and maybe while you're doing the dream board, because it takes a while, or writing your goals out, I think a self-audit of skills and identity capability are to be detailed as well. So writing down, what are your skills? What are you capable of? And get those in there so you can identify where there's going to be holes in your plan, because you're missing some abilities someplace. At the same time, ask yourself what it is about you that's deserving of success with these goals. I've had guys come to me and women come to me, and they design their mate as this incredible person, and I'll acknowledge that. It's like you designed a very incredible life partner here. Can you explain to me if you yourself are an incredible life partner? And there was some difficulty with that. So my advice, when you're going and you're designing a mate, or you're designing a life goal, is to really edit yourself and make sure that you're performing to the standards that it's going to take to accomplish these basic goals. Now, the reason I like people to review those weekly, if not daily, is because as you accomplish, you're going to need to move that goal line further away. It's like if you go into the martial arts and your goal is to get a belt, and let's say you say a purple belt or something, there's a good chance you're going to stop at that purple belt because you have satisfied all known criteria. And then going out and reestablishing a new goal of becoming a black belt, for example, can seem pretty painful after all you went through to make it to this goal of purple. So my advice is to move that goalpost further out as your understanding of the world becomes greater and understanding of yourself and accomplishment becomes greater. Just keep moving that goalpost within sight further and further to give you a carrot to chase. Let's see. I think when we're looking at accomplishing these goals, I think that the removal of the ego is, to the best of your ability, is insanely important. Your thoughts of yourself may be too hot or too cold, but I don't think that most people's thoughts of self are anything accurate. And we don't even understand what accurate is, by the way, because I don't know what people think of me, but it's probably different than what I think of me. And what they think of me doesn't make me, but what I think of me definitely does. So there is a difficulty with accuracy on these things, since we don't truly know what a person's capability is and what their ego is telling them to be. So I think it's really important that a person really tries to remove themselves or dissect and go back and face the dragons of their past to understand who it is that they are. Who are you? And not have a lot of bad language loaded up behind this definition, or insanely crazy language of how great you are. I've heard people call themselves really flattering names in the fitness industry, for example. And I thought it was pretty amazing that somebody would call themselves like the Ferrari or Lamborghini of fitness and then just be a local person. So I was like, have you not heard of Donald Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, guys like this? These people are the Ferraris of fitness. I make a joke in the gym, and I think my ego has been removed enough on this. I said, if I had to describe myself as a car, as a fighter, I'm a fighter, but I'm going to describe myself as a car so other dudes can understand what I'm talking about. I think that I'm probably like a 1970 SS Camaro, not even a Corvette. And reason being is pretty good at stuff, but still kind of have to be a family car. But I am definitely not a Lamborghini or Ferrari or a McLaren or any of those things. Those are in the NFL. And maybe I got the gifts to do this stuff, but you know, now at 50 years old, I've definitely passed that time in my life. And so I have to redesign, just like you guys do, a new way, a new path that you're going to take based upon where you are in life now. So watch the inaccuracies when you're defining yourself. And once you have what you think is figured out as yourself identified by removing your ego, where do you think you're going? You have all this stuff written down. What do you need to learn to make this possible? What do you know currently that will make it possible? I ask people to create a personal motto, a short phrase encapsulating the ideas of guiding an individual. The word motto and the word ego are pretty simultaneous in the harmony of their existence. So ego and motto both have a Latin core meaning, and the Latin core meaning of motto is to mutum or mutter. And it's to summarize the general motivation or intention of a group, a family, or an individual. The motto that you design for yourself, I think, is really important in that you create, you know, if you look at Step Brothers when they go in for their job interview on the movie The Step Brothers with Will Ferrell, they said, yeah, we're here to fuck shit up, you know, on their job interview. And then of course the comedy line kind of leans off into that, and it's exactly right as they fuck up their job interview. And so you can create a million little mottos for each little situation that you go into, but if you're not designing these things, I have a feeling they tend to design themselves. And as they design themselves, they can drive a nail in your coffin because they weren't intentional. And I think I spoke to you guys about habits before, maybe in a glancing blow, but if your habits aren't designed intentionally by your parents that were real cautious about how you created habits, or by yourself, then habits can drag you down a pretty dark tunnel of addiction to anything from alcohol, drugs, to porn, to food. It doesn't matter. If it's not intentionally created to get you to the goals that you're designing, I think you need to purge it from your system and redesign something to replace that and put it into play as best you can immediately. But a motto is a good way to do that. So creating a personal motto. I'm here to succeed. I'm here to grow. I'm here to do the best that I can. I don't care. It needs to be something that moves you in a way that you can understand and that you're willing to listen to, because sometimes it's really hard to listen to yourself People want to get different results than they're getting, but they will not listen to themselves and what it's going to take to change it. I had recently sent over a lecture on a topic to single and too socially awkward to mingle to a friend of mine, and their response was, it's not going to help. And I think that that would summarize their motto. It's not going to help. And so nothing helps. But I don't think that that was an intentional design of that person. I think that was an accidental design, and I don't know where it came from. And then they're doing everything in the world to make it get hardened and concrete in their life by creating situations where nothing can help. So really got to watch what your personal motto is, and then alter it as your goals change, as your dreams change, as your capabilities change. You have to be able to walk up to the next state of enlightenment or being that you're in. We can't take ninth grade know-how and apply it to the rest of our life. We've got to go 10th, 11th, 12th to keep working our way up. And as you continue to change, even in your older life, just because you're out of school doesn't mean that you're out of the learning curve. You've got to keep altering your motivation for your life as you grow. Or I think that's where that lack of a map comes in, the anxiety comes in, enough anxiety builds up, and next thing you know, you're fucking swimming in anxiety, and that's what causes depression. So I wanted to list out a couple of internal variables that I believe can get into the way of goal success. And one of them, I think we just talked about, is kind of a self-believed limitation. If you believe it can't be done, I believe you're right. So yeah, you'll create everything in the world, from financially to family issues to whatever, to make that happen. And I really believe that you'll create everything in the world to make what you believe real. Your brain has to do this, otherwise it's going to think it's crazy. If you believe certain things are real, and then you walk out into the world and you find out that they're not real, and you focus on them all the time, then what the hell are you believing, right? So your brain won't allow you to do this. I experienced this with my grandfather when I was very young. He told me that it's not possible to make more than $300 a day. I mean, this is back in maybe 1988, 89. And I'm like, what do you mean it's not possible to make more than $300 a day? I was sometimes at that time making more than $300 a day, but he couldn't wrap his head around it. It made him very angry to hear this, because it was in violation of his beliefs that I would imagine were just a modification of what he picked up from his parents and the Great Depression. So he brought to me a lot of things like never trust banks and keep money in a secure place where you can trust it. You know, it made sense for his day, but the banking system and society has outgrown those issues of that day and created safety nets to keep that kind of stuff from happening. So the $300 a day deal is just here to kind of impress upon you that it is not that you are going to create whatever you think, you're going to create that. That's your possibility. I doubt that you're going to be like, I can only make $300 a day. I can't make anything more, and then pop up making $27,000. It just doesn't happen like that. It does go the opposite way. I have a saying that for your best laid plan, life has a way of plugging every detail that you've missed with the worst fucking thing that it can find. So if you don't plan when you go on vacation or where you go on vacation, you just get in a car and start driving. That'll give you a great example when you arrive of all the things that you didn't plan for, because they're going to come to fruition. You're going to ruin this vacation that you have in most chances. So self-believed limitations are huge. And then what we kind of talked about with my grandfather just now was scripting from the past. And I think scripting is a word that needs to go into people's heads. A lot of the times when you're doing things in life, you're running off what is called in psychology a script. You don't believe this stuff for any other reason that you were told to believe it at a young age. And this is how you get people indoctrinated into religion. It's if you tell a person a story, and we have these examples of fables that work in people's lives, as long as you tell them from childhood. I can't tell you right now that about Santa Claus and have you go, holy crap, really, that's happening? I have to start when you're 1, 2, and 3, when there's a void of information around you, this massive vacuum of information, and you're looking to your proverbial mother or father for this, for all data and all information, and it creates the early formation of your brain. That information that is in that brain then codes out in behavior. That is called a script, and it's almost completely fucking accidental. And once you get a hold of that script and you can understand that you can actually scratch it, and there's methods and ways that you can scratch that disc, then you can start doing some things about it. But it's different from everybody that I've experienced on how long it takes to break these accidental habits of behavior. And they can be absolutely destructive in your life and create just tremendous amounts of hardship that don't need to exist. And for other people that were raised properly and scripted well, it can create tremendous amounts of success. And it could be, I have this definition of IQ. And the definition of IQ is the ability to understand what is important and what is not. So when people get into race relations and they're talking about this race and that race, I consider that to be a low IQ conversation. And I don't care what anybody else's opinion is. I really believe that that's a low IQ conversation. Low IQ conversations or placing blame elsewhere for somebody else did something to me in some way and that's why my life isn't working is absolutely unbeneficial. It's not going to yield a good result. And it may not even yield a result. It could just be a complete systematic waste of time. But if you have a naturally high IQ, it's possible that you could just have picked out of your environment of all these billion particles of data coming in just the important stuff, and you do really well. And money is one of those things that is a kind of an indicator of what you're focusing on. I can't find a lot of examples in today's society where a lack of money is a good thing. And I can't even think of a place on earth that has a lack of money that isn't filled with corruption and rape and violence and horrible things. Financial security is incredibly important to us. And I think that people saying stuff like money doesn't create happiness and things like this is a way for people to not face the legitimate reality of having to change something in their script in order to make this happen better. So that was a little bit off the topic. I wanted to bring it back in now. I didn't mean to get onto the money topic, but it's important that we touch on it a little bit because that's one of the big things that kills people's goals, right? Is they just don't have enough money to do them. You want to travel the world and then just accidentally create poverty, and then all you're going to get is you wanted to travel the world. That was it. That's just a goal that's not going anywhere. So your views on money can affect everything and create massive issues. I got told a while back by a friend of mine that I listened to pretty closely when it comes to financial matters. And she had told me that I'm a Sherpa. She goes, Michael, you're a Sherpa. You don't care about money. She goes, actually, from me talking to you, you hate it. Now, she does pretty well in money, and I don't want to mention her name, but financially she does pretty well. She's rang the bell on Wall Street and is pretty high up in a pretty substantial tech company in Colorado. But I had a lot to learn from that, and it took me about a year to soak in what she was trying to say. And I learned from another mentor because I had said to them that I feel my advantage in life is that I have a higher pain tolerance than most people, and this could be emotionally and this could be physically depending upon the situation. And he says, you need to stop that now. And I asked, what do you mean? He goes, I had a huge pain tolerance, and I'd mentioned this once to one of my mentors, and he snipped it right away by saying, your pain tolerance is what's allowing you to let things get so bad that they're not recoverable. But if your pain tolerance had been a lot less, you would have noticed this and taken action upon it a lot sooner, and the situation wouldn't have gotten so bad. So making sure that financially that you're developing this low pain tolerance and you're doing things the right way, not by avoiding paying for one thing and buying alcohol or drugs or something, but I mean that you're doing incredibly responsible things with your money that are going to allow you to accomplish these goals, whether you're reinvesting into your company or into your savings or to your children, wherever your priorities are at the time. And that's, the word priorities is going to bring me to the 5-point system. And this is a big one. I think I created this system some years ago when I was trying to explain to people how I built an international moving company from the back of a pickup truck over the course of 5 years that got noticed by every major industry carrier in that line of work. So the way I did it was I created a 5-point system: priorities, values, beliefs, wishes, and urges. And then within that, developing those, I developed them as if there were only one personality in an individual. And as I learned, this is what I'm talking about, moving that goalpost, as I learned through a system called transactional analysis that I studied for 8 years to learn that method of psychotherapy, I learned that the theory in that is that you have multiple personality states, and you can look at them as different people almost. If you come home and your significant other is throwing all of your clothes out the window and telling you they don't care if you die tonight and actually would prefer if you did, you're not talking to a rational adult at that point. You're talking at an angry child. Their brain has slipped into a place where this isn't a good time to explain to them algebra, right? It's not going to work. There's no even resolving the situation at hand based upon that mentality that is occurring at the moment. And a lot of what it takes to shift persons from one mental state to another is just patience. And it could be empathy. And for other people, it could be shock that moves them from one state to the next. And that takes a little bit of doing. And I don't advise that you go out and try to find out how to move other people that way as much as you try to move yourself. So where I'm going with this is that C2, the angry child of the person throwing all the clothes out the window hoping that their mate dies, has a 5-point system of its own: priorities, values, beliefs, wishes, and urges. But when that person's an adult sitting at the dinner table and everything's fine, it's operating off a totally separate set of 5 points: priorities, values, beliefs, wishes, and urges. She's not sitting across the table hoping her mate dies when everything's going fine. She's doing that when she's a child. And if she were to sober up from the drunkenness of mental hormones after wishing that her mate would die, and he did, she would never recover from that if she's normal. And I have met people that have done this and they're fine with it and just asked how they're going to get their money back. But I think that's a much deeper issue of psychopathy that I'm definitely not qualified to deal with. But those people, by the way, make great business people. Just you don't want to get involved with it. So that 5-point system, your views on money, the scripting of the past, the self-belief limitations, all have to be taken into consideration a little bit then you have to run into the external roadblocks. Oh, I'm sorry, here's one more internal roadblock that occurred. Your social capabilities. Not all of us are the same. So if you weren't adapted to other children by age 3 and learn how to play, from my understanding, if it's not done by age 3 or sometime around there, it can't be done. If you don't learn how to play with others by then, you will never, in most cases, learn how to play. It's just done, and it creates this dismal future. And there's some of these flagpole events in human lives that we know. So one of them is in the penal system. If you're a violent person, you do it once and it's not too bad, then maybe they put you on probation after a little jail time. But if you do it again, or you do something that they say, holy crap, man, this guy's dangerous, what they do is they just jail you to 28 until your brain kind of grows out of that and you have this release in hormones. You're not as crazy now. So they just age you out at 28. So you super have to watch this if you're 21 and violent. That's a great way to go to jail for a very long period of time. The social capabilities is something that I think that people probably need to work on. And the only way to work on them is to put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Things that you don't want to do are probably the things that we need to do. And being able to increase our pain tolerance for doing those things, and then decrease our pain tolerance in other areas that create major issues, is a pretty significant and major challenge that really play into accomplishing goals. You can have goals all day long, but if you don't have the means and the education and the drive to put them the traction on the road, then guess what? That was it. That's the end of it. Now you're going to set another goal a little lower, a little lower, a little lower. And next thing you know, you're just trapped in a cubicle and you're just in a box, driving to work in a box to pay for the place that you sleep in between your driving in the box and working in a box until you finally die, and then you go into a box. And that's kind of a dismal way of looking at things, but it's kind of how I see it, man. You got this one run, and what are you going to do with this one single run? Are you going to, what most people do? I think most people are going to do what most people do, right? They're going to do what they think is safe. Don't even come close to failing, because you didn't even really try. Just avoid it altogether and do what you're told. Keep your nose down. Die and get smashed into this place where you don't fit. And Joe Rogan had put it a good way once. You're just taking people and shoving them into this peg hole that they don't fit in, and then taking a knife and just slicing off the edges of the stuff that doesn't fit and throwing it away because we don't need that part of that person. I really resonated with me, because since I was in high school, I viewed a lot of jobs that people were trying to get as something that was going to, that people could do for now, but eventually would be replaced. And I couldn't imagine that doing something that's going to be replaced by a machine. And if you think about these people that spent their whole life back in the 1800s doing these tasks that are now almost meaningless to us and are done by machines, could you imagine what those people would feel like today if they came back? So I just wanted to save myself that discomfort by trying to do things that were more meaningful to the individuals that are around me versus doing something that eventually a machine is going to be invented for. And so, like shoveling, that's not a good, it used to be a good career, it is not a good career now. We have machines to do that. And it used to be people aspired to get these jobs. And if you aspire to shovel now, there's a significant foresight issue. I just wanted to avoid that for myself, and maybe you guys do too. I don't know, this is a good time to look at that. External roadblocks. We all have them, and there's a couple ways around them. You either simply have to work with them, or you have to work around them, or you have to fix them. That's it. And it's I would advise that you write down and itemize, take an audit of your internal, external roadblocks, what it is about you that deserves these goals that you're trying to write. Write out these goals, put them in picture form, put them everywhere you can see them, even do sub-goals. In order to, if you're trying to accomplish and build a business, it doesn't start with building a business. You have a lot of things that you need to put in place. And sometimes there's 2 years worth of work before you see a dime out of anything. And so and even when you see it, you might just see a dime out of it, right? So you don't know. So you have to really try to forecast this with your information the best way you can to create a roadmap for you to follow, and then change that roadmap as you grow. But really take an audit of all this stuff and write it down. So I'm going to take you guys along a trip with me as we go to build this, the Viking of Valhalla project line of products that I think are going to be kind of cool for men to have. And one of them is some axes that I'm working on getting made, and these axes will come in a gift package, or they can be purchased independently, however people want to do it. But there's some spirit in the axe that I just love, that it's a utilitarian tool, it's also entertainment, you can actually go in the backyard, throw it at targets with the kids love to throw them. It's absolutely an awesome piece of history that can be played with today. And I wanted to create something that would come where even men just like to sit around in the front room, watch TV, and just hold on to the axe. And I do that kind of stuff. And it's, I don't know, there's something fulfilling about it. So I wanted to provide that as one of the products that comes with the beard oil that we're going to be making. And Ashley has gone out of her way to order up all the stuff that we need. And now it's sitting out and ready to be put together. So we're going to have a bunch of different scents and balms hopefully coming out for beard oil and hair oil products. And one of them, on the balm topic of hardening your beard and your hair to hold it in place, I've got a crazy idea that is super, super old. And I'm not going to reinvent the wheel on it. I'm not going to give away too much on this. But it's going to be pretty fascinating, I think, for most people once they find out how simple this is and how easy this product is to use. So I'm excited to get a little bit of a build-up on this initial run of beard oils that we're going to be putting out. We're going to be making some samplers. And then when these axes are done, we're going to start getting those ready to go for hopefully the Christmas season. And then finally put in there some shave kit things, like a straight razor, so you can get underneath the jawline and above the right below the cheek, and the back of your neck needs to be shaved. Like you don't want to just become unruly, obviously, with the beard. But this incredibly natural, incredibly convenient, and incredibly healthy product that I use to control the beard and control the health of my hair. And I'm going to be putting that in this product line as well. And I'm excited to share it with you. So, guys, that was really it for the day. And I wanted to make sure that I got a chance to run through the sponsors of Chasing the Goals, Chasing Goals podcast today. Viking Valhalla Project Style is Viking Valhalla Construction and Woodworks, located in Westminster, Colorado. Specializing in remodels of homes, log cabins, and everything wonderful made of wood on the inside. Fusebox Sambo 1, Colorado's home of Sambo and Sambo-based MMA, located in Westminster, Colorado. Look them up on the web, guys. We got some new web pages coming up here pretty soon. www.fusebox.com and www.vikinginvalhalla.com. Those websites, we have the Fusebox is up right now. The Viking Valhalla should be up here pretty soon, and we're going to have everything that I just talked about available on that for order. And we'll start getting ready for our altings, where we'll meet in the mountains with groups of men and do manly things. Everything from snowmobiles to axe throwing to cooking meat on sticks and talking about what is it going to take to help individuals that are part of this Valhalla project become more and more successful in their goals. This is Michael Sullivan, the Viking of Valhalla. Thanks for listening to the project.